Grace,
mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The text for our sermon today is the Old Testament lesson from the book of Ecclesiastes. You may be seated. If we have Good Shepherd Sunday, so named for the lectionary readings of that day, then perhaps this past Sunday should be called You Can't Take It With You Sunday. Jesus tells us the parable of the rich fool who, after his land produces a rich harvest, plans to build storehouses and say to his own soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Now, rather than the usual eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, this man's merrymaking is based on the assumption that he has many good years ahead. Yet he is not even allowed to wait until tomorrow to die, for his life will end that very night. And so the plentiful yield of the harvest is left to others to store or to spend. Thus the Lord would have us guard ourselves from all covetousness. Life is more than just stuff. Now the next logical thought, of course, comes next in Jesus' teaching. In next week's gospel lesson, where Jesus invites us to consider the lilies who neither toil nor spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. This is a lesson that King Solomon himself knew all too well, and so he laments of the vanity of all his toil, saying he hated his toil. But unlike the rich fool, however, Solomon is wise. And Solomon knows that everything for which he has toiled will be left for another. Far and away, the best prize that life has to offer, said Theodore Roosevelt, is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. But what makes work worth doing? Especially when one must leave it to the man who will come next, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Not only that, but the toil is burdensome, and it is difficult. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. Our children perhaps do not yet understand Solomon's complaint, but every grown-up does. Every grown-up who lays awake at night making lists of everything that must be done tomorrow. In all his wisdom, Solomon is keenly aware of the human condition which we all suffer, of the curse of Adam, which was spoken by the Lord in the Garden of Eden. Cursed is the ground because of you, and pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so this is the lot of man, that he should work and that he should toil. In wisdom and knowledge and skill he shall toil, and he shall sweat for his bread. Yet his life is like a road that ends at a wall, for when he passes from life to death, everything he is returns to dust, and the fruits of his labors are left to others. This also is vanity. I once knew a rich fool. He was a man who made his money in the stock market. For him, money was no problem. He would spend his days buying and selling in amounts that could send all three of my children to college. He was the kind of guy who would take his BMW in to be repainted in the spring because the Wisconsin winter, he felt, had dulled the old paint job, which, by the way, was gray. Anything he wanted, he could have. But every minute of every day, his mind was consumed with one thing, making more money. Yet this man was worse off than the rich fool in Jesus' parable. Although eating and drinking were no problem for this man, he could never be merry. He could never tell his soul to relax, looking forward to the many good years ahead. Unlike Jesus' rich fool, this man constantly lamented, wishing that he could die. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Although he had the means to hire many servants, he himself was a slave. This also is vanity. This is work for the sake of work. This is money for the sake of money. This is laying up treasure for yourself for the sake of laying up treasure. And all of it, whether squandered or stored, will be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. You can't take it with you. This is the human condition. This is the curse. And so Solomon gave up his heart to despair over all the toil of his labors under the sun. But then suddenly, in verse 24 of our reading, Solomon changes his tune. Did you catch it? There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Suddenly, we can see a difference. Work for the sake of work is vanity, but not so for the one who is rich toward God. For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. For the unfaithful, there is nothing more than toil. There is nothing more than work for the sake of work, to pile up treasure for the sake of piling up treasure. This is all in vain, and it will all be given to others. For the unfaithful, life is nothing more than sweat for bread. But for the faithful, to him God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. So how can this be? How can we go from hating toil and declaring everything vanity to enjoying toil from the hand of God? How can a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil, knowing that he will leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it, someone who doesn't deserve it? Well, Solomon would leave the fruits of his toil to his son, Rehoboam, who neither worked for it nor deserved it. We, however, have received the fruits of Christ's toil through the adoption as sons and daughters, and through the waters of holy baptism. He has taken our sin upon himself, and through faith we are incorporated into the body of Christ, and thus we receive his righteousness. This is a treasure that we have neither worked for, and nor have we deserved it. And yet we receive in full the vast wealth of Christ's riches. And so it is for us that he toiled under the sun, and it is on our behalf that he has suffered. For us to attempt to stand on our own righteousness is vanity and a striving after wind. But Jesus freely gives it to others to enjoy, to you and to me. By Jesus' death on the cross, the second Adam has reversed the curse which was pronounced on the first Adam. Through faith in the promise of Jesus, no longer are we destined to dust. Rather, our destiny is to be raised to new life in Christ, to live with him in his eternal kingdom, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And not only has Jesus redeemed us from death, but he has redeemed the work of our hands. We are not destined to labor only for ourselves, to eat the bread by the sweat of our brow, but God has given us to live in faith toward him and in service toward our neighbors. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? And so we are encouraged to enjoy the simple things in life and to remember that God is in heaven and you are on earth. It is resting in the salvation of God that we might enjoy our work. When we are rich towards God in thanksgiving for the inheritance we have received, then we no longer work for the sake of work. But every good work that is done in his service. And these works are done in service to our neighbors. And so Roosevelt was right after all. The best prize that life has to offer is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. What makes work worth doing is not the work itself, but the one for whom the work is done. And for the Christian, all his work is done in service to God and neighbor. Now, sometimes our work doesn't seem so glorious. Sometimes it's pure drudgery. But take joy in it. Take joy in it because it is from God and your neighbor needs it. Now, this should be especially easy for those of you who are studying for the office of the ministry. The work isn't always easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't enjoy decoding the Greek. Sometimes you don't enjoy opening your English Bible backwards because you've been doing so much Hebrew. Sometimes you don't always enjoy the hours and hours of reading that was assigned by your professors. But it's work worth doing, because it's the work that's going to make you a pastor. So enjoy it. Enjoy this work because you did not work for the riches which are already yours through baptism, through faith in Christ. Enjoy it because Jesus has redeemed you and he has redeemed your work, and your neighbor needs it. He needs you to be a faithful pastor. And that's what makes work worth doing. To the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. This is also vanity and a striving after wind. But on the other hand, to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. That is, to the one who has faith in God, he has given himself. The life of the Christian is redeemed from the human condition of toil and death. The life of the Christian is not work in vain. The life of the Christian is this: eat and drink. Eat the body of Christ given for you, and drink his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, and find enjoyment in your work. This also is from the hand of God. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.